Psalm chapter 1, looking at the Psalms here. Last week we looked at a word that's very important. It would really help if we understood the word Selah. We've been taught that the word Selah means meditate, but it means more than that. It means think how this psalm or this song is going to be fulfilled in the millennium or, in some cases, during the tribulation. And normally, it's a prophetic psalm. Now, not all prophetic psalms have Selah. Selah is a sign of a prophetic psalm, and I'm hoping it helps you when you read your Bible. To give you a real quick, you're there at Psalm 1. To give you a quick overview, remember, all Scripture has three interpretations. A present interpretation, what happened when that psalm was written. Then it has a personal interpretation, which is very wide. That's your devotion. In other words, how God speaks to your heart out of that psalm. If you didn't know anything about how it was written, if you didn't know anything about the time frame, God can still speak to your heart, use verses to apply them to your life and what you're going through. That's devotional. It doesn't take any study for that. It just takes thought and prayer and meditation. So there's the present, the personal, and the prophetic. All Scripture has three interpretations. Looking at Psalm 1, let's read these six verses here, and then we're gonna divide them up, and we're going to look at this tonight. Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now notice here, the first three verses is the first part of this psalm. Verse 4 down is going to talk about the ungodly. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. First of all, let's think about Psalm 1. What's the present, or what's the story behind this psalm? There isn't one other than it's the first one. Do you see on Psalm 3, does everybody look at, see at Psalm 3, right underneath Psalm 3, it says a Psalm of David. And the next seven Psalms, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all have a Psalm of David. Well, when you look at Psalm 1, there is no, God doesn't give us the author who he used to pen it. Most think, here we go, this is speculation now, most think it was Solomon, because it sounds a lot like Proverbs. However, it doesn't say that, but most think it was, it's like a son, it's like a father talking to a son. It's a father giving a son instruction. Many think it's Solomon talking to Rehoboam. It doesn't say that, but it has some similarities there. No problem. There is a, now that's the present or the story behind the writing of the psalm. Now the personal. The devotional application of this psalm literally is endless. The truths that you can pull out of this, we're going to pull a few out tonight. I'm sure I could, if I told each one of the men next week, why don't you stand and give 15 minutes of what you learned from this psalm? We'd get something different from each one, and it'd be good, and it'd be rich. Because this psalm is so practical. It has so many applications, just in six verses. But that's the devotional truth. Now let's look at it prophetically. Real quick, and then I'll divide it up with you. Prophetically, the blessed man is the Lord Jesus in the first three verses, and the ungodly man is the Antichrist in the last three. So you've got the Lord Jesus prophetically in the first three verses, and you have the Antichrist from verse 4, 5, and 6. That's the prophecy. Look at that scripture. Now, this psalm is, because it's a father talking to his son, this Psalm number 1, it's interesting to know, was memorized by all children. It was normally one of, now Psalm Deuteronomy 6 is one is a major, that was in the frontlets that banged on their forehead, okay? There's four verses there. But this psalm was memorized in every household. It was this is so devotional how a dad could sit down and instruct his family, and it gives an easy recipe for success. don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, plus not standing in the way of sinners, we'll look at this tonight, plus not sitting in the seat of the scornful and delighting yourself in the Word of God means success, if you'll do those four things. So it is important, and if you've not memorized this psalm, it's good. Six verses, you could probably do it in a couple of weeks. It's a good psalm to commit to memory. Now, because this is the first psalm in the largest book of the Bible, and everybody needs to remember the word psalm means song. The biggest book in the Bible is a song book, right? It's a song book. That tells me this, the biggest book in the Bible, right in the middle of your Bible, is a song book. Music's pretty important to God. Music's very important. I don't think we put enough emphasis on music. And I know where preaching's supposed to be. But I think the more we sing and the more we sing good songs out of the more we're taught, the softer our heart gets. Music is a wonderful tool. Wonderful tool. But because it's the first psalm in the Psalms, many believe that this is the foundational psalm for all of the Psalms. What's in here is how to be blessed of God and the destruction of sinners. Pretty blunt in six verses. And they say Psalm 1 is the start or the foundational psalm for all the rest of the Psalms. That probably might help you. Notice how it starts. Blessed is the man. The word blessed starts Psalm 1, Psalm 32, Psalm 41, Psalm 119, 128, and 144. Those are the psalms that God starts the song with blessed. What does the word blessed mean? The word blessed means multiple blessings and happiness because of blood shed. When you look it up sometime, when you look up the English word blessed, it means multiple blessings and happiness because of blood that was shed. Notice the similarities of the word blessed and blood. They're similar. When you look it up, I did in the Oxford English Dictionary from the 1700s. It is. The word blessed, that's how come, watch this. You can, only a Christian can be blessed. I don't say God bless you to everybody. I say God bless you if I know you're saved. Because if you're not saved, you can't be blessed. Because blood has not been accepted. What does the word blessed mean? Beautiful, beautiful word in your Bible. It means multiple. It means multiple blessings and happiness because of blood that was shed. That's what the word blessed means. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I put this down. You aren't blessed because you're saved. I've heard people say this my whole life. If you'd get saved, your life would change. That's not true. If you get saved, you'll be on your way to heaven, but your life only changes as you let Jesus change your life. I know some people who've gotten saved, and getting saved is all they let the Lord do. Your life does not change when you get saved. Your life changes when you let being a child of God influence how you're supposed to live. That's when your life changes. That's very important to understand. That's very important. Blessed is the man now that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let's break this down. What is counsel? Counsel is life-guiding advice. I can go to a lost plumber and find out how to put a garbage disposal in my house. That's advice. That's not counsel. But when you ask questions on how to guide your life, like should I marry this person, or where should I go to college, or what should I do for things that affect your life, that's counsel. And blessed is the man. Multiple blessings and happiness are available to the man, first of all, who doesn't get any life-guiding advice or counsel from ungodly people. Please notice this. That's the word counsel. The word ungodly is not the word wicked. Because here's what I've heard Christians say. Well, they're not doing drugs. It doesn't say, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the wicked. It says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What's an ungodly person? An ungodly person is somebody who doesn't have any use for God. They might pay their taxes. They might not cuss. They might know how to show up at work on time. Maybe they have inward character, but they're ungodly. They have no use for God. They have no use for church. And watch this. They don't mind if you go to church as long as you don't get in their way. They're ungodly. God says, do not get advice. That's why understanding this psalm, blessed is the man that walketh not in life-guiding advice from ungodly people. In other words, if you're not a soul winner, and if you're not faithful to church, why would I listen to you on how to rear my kids? Why would you take... Well, you know, you really ought to have a TV in your house. You're shutting them kids off and you're isolating them from life. I know this, the families that raise their kids without a TV, those kids are happier. I can just tell. I know what happened in our house. I'm not telling you to throw the TV out and smash it with a sledgehammer. I am telling you this. Normally, ungodly people counsel you. They're willing to give you all types of life-guiding advice. What are you doing that with your kids for? What are you? All these girls in dresses. You know what you're teaching? Why don't you? Let me say it again. If you're not a soul winner and you're not faithful to church, why would I listen to your advice on my family or my marriage or my children? Blessed or multiple? There's so much in this psalm. There's so much. That's why I'm amazed at how many Christians listen. The Church of Oprah Winfrey? Really? You know she's a New Ager, right? Hillary Clinton wants to pastor. Do you know why? Because she's a crook. If she enters the ministry, she's thinking that she can get out of going to jail. I heard that 2 weeks ago, and I thought, really? Hillary Clinton wants to pastor? That's criminal. That's ought to help us. She can lead all the other Jezebels in America. I'm just amazed at what Christians accept. Well, they're not doing drugs. They're not a serial killer. It doesn't say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked. That's different. That's somebody that's vile. That's your murderers. That's your drug dealers. That's your hurtful people. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Then, Christian, could I just tell you, if you want God's blessings, the first step is be careful who you get advice from. Now, let's put the rubber more on the road, because this gets heavier. Are you ready? If I'm not going to get counsel from the ungodly, then why would I watch their movies? Do you realize when you watch the movie, you're entering that director's view of the world? I don't care if it's Star Wars. I don't care. In other words, that director, in an hour and a half, 2 hours, two and a half, three. I mean, they're getting longer. But in an hour and a half, he's going to give you his perspective of the world. And notice how ungodly all the movies are. I didn't say wicked. Have you noticed how ungodly? You won't hear the word sin anymore. It's nowhere to be found on the TV, on the news, in the newspapers. And it's nowhere to be found anywhere. Notice how ungodly all of the movies are. They can have a God, and they can make themselves God, but they can't mention God Almighty, the true God. What would we call that? We don't call that wicked. We call it ungodly. Be careful about the movies you watch. We live in a weird day. When I was growing up, if you wanted a movie, I mean, VCRs were just getting started. You know what I mean? And then you had the big tapes and then the betas and, you know, all this stuff. And if you wanted a movie, you had to go down to the, I'm just saying, nowadays, in two clicks, people can binge watch for like 4 and 5 hours. And the things that they're watching, I'll say this, it may not be wicked, but it's ungodly. God has nothing to do, and they don't want God in those movies. They want it to be all about you and picking yourself up by your bootstraps. And that might be a little bit about life, but there's no dependence on God. None of it. It's ungodly. I think you ought to be careful about the books you read. Please be careful about the books you read. Your life is tainted by the books you read like water is tainted by the type of pipe it flows through. Please be careful about the books you read. I don't read fiction. I'm not going to read fiction. If I'm going to read something, I'd rather read something. I love reading books about the Bible. If it's a good soul-winning Baptist, I like that. I like reading preaching. I don't read fiction. I won't read fiction. I didn't say you sin if you do. I said, but can I just... Here, let's leave for a second. Why would you spend, how long did it take you to finish that 800-page book? Oh, I read it for 12 hours. Have you ever spent 12 hours reading your Bible? Why would I spend more time in a book that's not real than I could in a book that's real? Let me give you one more thing. Can you take your Bible? We'll come right back to Psalm 1. Go to Colossians. There's more ways than this, but this is one way. Colossians chapter 3. There's three ways you can get counsel from ungodly people. One is the movies. Two is the books. Three, look at verse number 16. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The key word there is admonishing. The word admonishing means to counsel. One of the purposes of music is to counsel you or guide you in your thinking with life's decisions. When you listen to, you say, well, I don't listen to, I listen to more than just hymns. I listen to more than just hymns too, but I don't listen to ungodly music. You say, why? Because Colossians 3:16 says one of God's purposes for music is to teach you and counsel you. Doesn't it say that? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Christian, when the song is done playing, what were you taught? You were counseled how to live. Then what did the song teach you? Please be careful. Music, we've looked at this before, but music is so powerful to guide your thinking. And if you don't control what you listen to, you then get counsel from ungodly people. You are admonished or counseled. Let's do it again. Blessed or multiple blessings and happiness because of blood that was shed is upon, first of all, the man that doesn't walk in any counsel of the ungodly. You better be careful about the books you read, the movies you watch, and the music you listen to. Please be careful. Now the preaching starts. You won't be blessed. Isn't that strong? I just can't figure out. I'm saved. I'm going to church. I'm here every time the doors are open. But when you leave, what you're filling your mind with won't allow you to be happy because of the movies you're watching, the books you're reading, and the music you're listening to. Please be careful. Let's go back to Psalm 1 now. And by the way, if you need good music, I'll give you more music than you can listen to in a month, 24 hours a day with no repeats. All you got to do is ask me. I love giving stuff away. I love giving good music. I love giving good preaching. I love giving good, if you want the Bible read in the background to work with, I got James Earl Jones. Somebody gave it to me. You know who that is? Darth Vader. You know what I mean?
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
I got James Earl Jones reading the New Testament. You know what I mean? So if you want Bible, if you want music, if you want preaching, ask me. I'll give it to you. Now we're back here Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So to get God's blessings, step one is don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Next, let's break another statement down here. Who standeth not in the way of sinners. The way of sinners. First of all, that word way. How have I heard that used in the Bible? Paul was given letters that if any should be of that way, he could take them bound into prison and torture them. The way is a description of a lifestyle. What was our title before it was, one of the titles after Baptist was, we're called the way three times in the book of Acts. Oh, you're of that way. Oh, you live that way. That's one of our titles. So blessed is the man who doesn't get counsel from the ungodly or stands in the way. And if you aren't careful, you're going to think of it as a path. And that's not what the way is. Blessed is the man that standeth not in the lifestyle or the way of sinners. The way is in reference to a lifestyle. Those who don't care about God, Romans, those who don't care about how God views us, we're all sinners. I understand that. We're all sinners. But take your Bible now and go to Romans 3. We'll come back here. We're thinking now about the way of sinners. The way of sinners. I took the word way and I pulled from the book of Acts. It's a lifestyle. Oh, you're of that way. You're a Christian. You live that way. It is a lifestyle. Now look at how God views us. And if you don't have this marked in your Bible, look at verse number 10, Romans 3:10. I call this God's view of all of us. How does God see us as sinners? This is the description. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Stop. God sees everybody this way. This is God's view of mankind. After we fell and Adam passed on that sin nature, look at verse number 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. We are all unprofitable to God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre or grave. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 10 through 18 gives God's description. Well, that's people before they get saved. That is God's picture of mankind and why we need to be saved. People who I call are lost sinners don't care how God sees them. I spoke to a man last night when I was out soul winning. He wanted to hear what I had to say, but he wouldn't get saved. I read in the passage that we just read, I said, this is how God sees you. You're not righteous. You're not good. You're unprofitable to God. No, you need to get saved. He wouldn't. But he said, thank you for talking to me. I said, I'm just a messenger. I'm just a messenger. Romans 3, blessed is the man that standeth not in the lifestyle or the way of sinners. Those that don't care. Let's go back to Psalm 1 now. I wanted to show you Romans 3. Hollywood doesn't care how God sees them. The world doesn't care how God views them. The news media doesn't care how God views them. Facebook doesn't care how God sees them. They have no need for God. God is in the way. God is an inconvenience. The Bible is a nuisance to them. When you get saved, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. When you get saved, your crowd and those you spend time with is supposed to change. You realize everybody's a sinner, but there's blood-washed sinners, and then there's lost sinners. Then, So blessed is the man. Please be careful, Christian, about standing in the way of sinners. Let's look at the last thing here in verse 1, Psalm 1. Ready? It says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You want a Bible study and a half? Look up the word scorn. It's a scary word. Because God says he becomes a scorner to those that scorn. He says that in Proverbs. When you look up the word scorn, when you look up a good definition, and if you're taking notes, God bless you, I'm going to read pretty quick. But the word scornful, it means critical, negative, opinionated, passionate contempt, or scathing and mocking. And when you contempt something, you treat it as vile and worthless. You despise it. That's a scorner. Let me say it one more time. Who scorns? Somebody that is critical and negative and opinionated, and they're passionate and they're mocking. That's a scorner. Now listen closely. You do your own study on the word scorning. I preached a message here 2 years ago on scorning. It's a stout message. There's a We need red carpet in here so when people bleed to death, you can't tell. But it was a stout sermon, and it was on watch your mouth. Who is it when you sit in the seat of the scornful, then you start, if you're going to sit down, that means you're spending time with those that are, you ought to be careful about those that are critical. Because if they'll criticize someone to you, then they'll criticize you to other people. You haven't learned that yet? If they don't control their mouth around you, what makes you think they control their mouth when they're around other people about you? That's easy preaching, hard living, and I know that. But when you're spent, be careful who you spend time with. There are, look, we'll get into this here in just a second, but every church has a devil. Every church does. Really? Jesus had 12, and he told Judas, one of you is a devil. And we don't have a better church than Jesus did. Amen? That's just the way it goes. Every church has a devil. And I can't tell you who the devil is, but I can give you signs of what to do and who to stay away from. That's why if somebody comes up to me and says, do you think I ought to marry so-and-so? I can't tell you that. I can just tell you traits of somebody that make a good wife and traits of somebody that make a good husband. I'll let you figure it out. That's your... Who you marry, that's up to you. That's not my call. But I can't tell you, like, I can't tell you who the wrong crowd is around here. I will tell you this, there is a wrong crowd. There are people in our church that if you spend enough time with them, they will criticize and negative and gossip. And they really think, you know, it's all done with the spiritual guys. It's all done in the name of spirituality. Brother, we need to pray for so-and-so because he's having a horrible... He beats his wife every night. And I mean, we need to just pray for him. And it's always done with a spiritual... It's never out-and-out criticism. It's always got a cloak. At the church where we were at in Shenandoah, I remember there were ladies there. Not all of them. There were some very godly ladies here. We have some very godly ladies in our church too. There were some ladies there. They'd been critical so long and for such a long time. You could preach on criticism. Bless God, you ought not to be critical. And blah, 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 blah. And they'd be, amen, that's good. And they never picked up on it. They had a tongue longer than the altar. I'm not kidding you. It was longer than the average python. And they'd, amen, that's good. Preach it. And they never clicked. Because they'd been doing it a long time. And I told my wife, when I said, that woman there, that is a critical woman. She will cut you into ribbons. We will be nice. We keep our distance. We're nice to everybody. You understand? But that woman there, she'll cut you. And you'll bleed for weeks. Because she knows just when she hugs you, she's feeling for that fifth rib. I'm just telling you, every church has its devil. Here we go. Blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. Who are these people? They pay no attention to their tongue and what they talk about. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can either help people or kill people with your mouth. And a fool pays no attention to what comes out of their mouth. They don't yield to the Holy Spirit. I just speak my mind. Don't advertise to everybody that you're a fool. The Bible says a fool speaks all of his heart. Well, what you see is what you get, brother. Well, shame on you. Are you ever what others need you to be? Do you ever try to be what somebody else needs you to be? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It says here, James 3 doesn't matter to the scornful. James 3 should probably be one of the chapters that's marked in everybody's Bible. Do you know why? And we don't have time to go through it tonight, but it says that the tongue is untamable by no one. Everybody in here, myself included, has hurt people with your tongue. Some people, they don't learn from the mistakes and they keep on. And they've hurt more people than other people in here with their tongue. But everybody in here has said things that has hurt somebody. Because the Bible says the tongue is an unruly member and no man can tame it. It is set on fire of hell. That's pretty stout. That tells me this. If you sit in the seat of the scornful or the critical or the negative or the mocker, it's because you quit caring about your tongue. And if you want God's blessing, blessed is the man who, first of all, is careful where he gets his advice from. Then he's careful in the lifestyle that he stands in and represents. And then thirdly, he doesn't spend time with people that don't care about their tongue. Because why? I want the blessings, the multiple blessings and the happiness that come because blood has been shed for me. Blessed is the man that does these three things. And then look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. When I read that word delight, that just lets me know that Christianity should be something you enjoy. And watch this. I understand everybody's going to get hurt. Everybody's going to make mistakes and hurt. I understand. I've been stabbed to death. If somebody was going to put a knife in my back, I need to say, there's three other knives that need to come out. As soon as I get them out, you can come and put yours in. That was a joke. I wish you'd have heard that, okay? I'm saying all of us have been mistreated. But your relationship with the Lord should be one of the delights of your life, because God has never mistreated you. Amen. And the one person you can always count on is the Lord. And when everybody has failed you, God hasn't. That's why your delight can be in His Word. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. Christianity isn't supposed to be an inconvenience. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 10:29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I love that verse. Christianity and being a Christian and being a child of God, being a believer, being born again, being saved is something that's supposed to be a delight. I understand where others can let you down, and we're going to let each other down. But your relationship with God should be a delight. And every time you read that book, you ought to delight in it. When you look up the word delight, it means, let me see here, I'm right here. The word delight means being delighted so that pleasure, joy, and gratification are felt. They're glad that they're saved. They delight or they will. Let's read it this way. If I use the word will, but his will is in the law of the Lord. His delight, his desires is in the law of the Lord. It's in the Bible. At the penning of this psalm, now you think, well, preacher, do you realize that the penning of this psalm, Psalm 1, they didn't have much more than the first five books of the Bible. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Probably it was just maybe a little past Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. His delight is in that. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got 66 books you can delight yourself in. At the penning of this psalm, he could only say, boy, I love those first five books. He didn't know that there was anything else. He just, man, love Exodus. Such a good book. Numbers. Woo-hoo. Can't wait to read it for the fifth time this year. His delight is in the law of the Lord. We get the whole book. They didn't. We get to delight ourselves. You ought to have favorite passages that you turn to that give you strength and that minister to you. And no, you're not going to understand it all, but there ought to be certain scriptures that's like, if I can just get to the book and delight yourself in it. And delight yourself in it. His delight is in the law of the Lord. When I read, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That reminds me. Can you go to Joshua chapter 1? We're almost done. I wanted to just glance at Psalm 1 with you. But go to Joshua chapter 1. While you're turning to Joshua 1, you may not walk in the way of the ungodly, but do you delight to read God's Word? Do you study God's Word? Do you meditate on God's Word? If not, keep in mind, verse 2 is tied with verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is number 4. And if you don't do this, if you don't read and delight yourself in your Bible, you can't be blessed. If you don't find joy and enjoyment in the book,
That is your relationship with the Lord. That determines the blessings.
You're at Joshua 1:8. Every time I read, meditate both day and night, watch this. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. If you underline the word meditate and you underline the three words observe to do, I love the King James Bible for many reasons. One is God defines words. But what does the word meditate mean? I know it doesn't mean the yoga. Okay, all that empty your mind. I know it doesn't mean that. The biblical word for meditation is observing to do. Listen closely. How do you meditate on God's word? God says, read it, think about it, and meditate on it day and night. How do I meditate on the Bible? First of all, let's say I'm learning to be a soul winner. I observe in my mind to do, and I picture myself obeying the Bible, knocking on a door, being scared to death. Hello, I'm Greg Nash, and this is my partner, and we're from Gospel Light Baptist Church, and I'm picturing it in my mind. If you struggle, wherever you struggle in the Christian life, if it's a temper problem, if it's a word problem, if it's a lust problem, take any problem that you have and meditate. Picture yourself, instead of giving in to the temptation, picture yourself observing to do what God says to do. Picture yourself in your mind, meditate day and night on the Word of God, but it's not emptying your mind as much as it's you picturing in your mind, you obeying the Bible. And if I do come to a point and I hit my hand with a hammer and I'm tempted to cuss, I picture myself saying, and I picture myself obeying the Bible. That's meditation. Well, I just struggle with so-and-so. And boy, I tell you, the next time he tells me this, I'm going to just give him a piece of my mind. Then take the Bible and meditate on you treating him like Jesus would. Observe to do in your mind what you're supposed to do. And picture yourself doing it over and over and over again. And then when it happens, you're doing it for the 50th time. That's how you train yourself. You meditate. And it's not an emptying of your mind. You take the problem that you're struggling with. Is it a friend? Let's say it was a temptation with drugs. Or let's say whatever it is, you picture in your mind doing what God tells you to do over and over and over and over again. That is biblical meditation. And that is part of the training of a Christian. How do you train your mind to think right? You meditate in the book. And folks, you can't do that if you don't read it. That's why if you'll memorize it. Why do we memorize the Bible? So that when we shut our book and we go about our day, it's in our heart. I was working on Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the life of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And I can think about that when my Bible's closed. That's why we memorize Scripture. And that's why I understand if you get older and stuff, but your memory's a muscle. Well, I can't memorize. You'd be shocked at what we memorize. I don't memorize. But they got football games and football teams and plays. No, we memorize what we want to memorize. We memorize so that we can meditate. And when we shut our Bible and we walk away, it's there. It's there. Thou, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Because then what's it say? It says here, all according to all that is written therein. For then, if you'll do that, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. He delights. I love my Bible time. Well, you're a preacher. You're a Christian.
And it ought to be an enjoyable part of your day. I love my time with the Lord. And that should be everybody's claim in here. I love hearing you talk about your Bible time. I love hearing you talk about your time with the Lord. Had a great time with the Lord. Whew! Had revival yesterday. Glory to God. About caught the house on fire. It was so good. I love hearing the older men in the church say, in the morning, this is when I read my Bible. And I love hearing that. When was the last time you wept when you were reading your Bible? And God smote your heart. Or God exhorted and lifted you and gave you just what you needed. You'll find that in the book. Blessed or multiple blessings and happiness to the person who accepts the blood that's been shed and then does what? Doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly and stand in the way of sinners or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but he delights in the law of God. Let's pray. Father, please use this tonight. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I wish each person in here, Lord, you've given us the recipe for success. You've shown us how to be blessed. Please help us to follow your commands and Lord, in your word, and not what the world has to say. Bless these sweet people.